The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Sunny Hashmi. He's Managing Director for Global Government at a company called Box. Just a simple company, B-O-X, huh?
Just Box.
Oh, I don't have to spell anything here or repeat and say radio-friendly, not radio-friendly. There are many listeners who know you and heard of you and know about your reputation. I went to LinkedIn to figure out your background, and the question I ask is, what hasn't this guy done? I don't know, he played third baseman for the Cubs, he's in the Redskins, he's doing this, he's doing that. I don't even know. Tell us about your background and how you wound up working for Box, please.
It's very kind of you, John. Thanks for inviting us to be part of your show, first of all. I'm very excited to be here. I've had the privilege to be involved in federal or public sector IT in one way, shape, or form for many, many years. My entire career has been around helping government do better using technology. For the last 5 years or so, I was at GSA, did various roles, Chief Technology Officer at GSA, and prior to that, and after that, the CIO. And then I also had an opportunity to serve the city of DC for a few years as a CIO. I've been my career in the federal government, and prior to that, has always been focused on how we can bring modern, innovative, and emerging technologies, and then really apply them towards providing better services to citizens. And when I look at that, you know, the last few years have been completely game-changing, right? Both the technology landscape between big data and cloud and mobility have completely changed how government could serve citizens. And we're seeing this trend emerging in private sector all over the all the time, where companies are pressured like never before to find new, better digital experiences for their customers. And they're getting disrupted by new players coming out of left field like Uber and Netflix, where they're providing ultimately better experiences for their customers at a more efficient, more inline, mobile-friendly way. And they're seeing that their customers are responding by adopting these services en masse. And for that matter, the customers today have more choice in services they consume than they've ever had before. And the government is seeing the same trend. Citizens expect better services from governments in real time, in mobile-friendly ways. And so this trend is just getting started in government. We'll talk a little bit about today why some of these things are harder to adopt in government compared to private sector. But, so when I see that, I see companies like Box, companies that are just committed to making better, providing tools and technologies to allow organizations to provide better digital experiences. And I figured, you know, this might be an opportunity for me to leverage those kind of technologies and skill sets to bring back to government.
Well, I think I got to get in a box and toot your horn a little bit. I mean, you have a master's degree in computer science and electrical engineering. I mean, that alone itself is worth talking about. You've worked at IBM, you worked at Xerox, you've worked at the DC government, you worked at the GSA, so you've got, you know, big company experience, you've got local government experience, you've got federal government experience. You've got like this is the perfect salad of experience. You know, tonight's my turn to cook.
You're too kind.
No,
you're too kind.
Tonight's my turn to cook. I'm going to make this grilled chicken salad with green beans and olives, and I got to
throw a little bit of everything in there.
You got to have right plum tomatoes, got everything in there. It's like, because if you just had it with just green beans, it'd be a terrible salad. So what you got is you got a salad background with a wide, wide range. Yet, in spite of all this, you know, real serious high level stuff on Twitter, you call yourself the Govy at Box.
Well, somebody has to. No, I mean, I think one day a psychologist will tell me what's wrong with me and why I can't, do the traditional thing. But I've always been excited about the prospect of making a difference, right? And to me, there's just no shortage of opportunities to do that in government. So when I joined Box and when I was having conversations with the CEO before I joined, my biggest sort of concern or my biggest interest was that I don't want to just join a company where I'm responsible for selling a great product, which is great. Great products sell themselves, but I really wanted to contribute back to the community and stay actively engaged in furthering the dialogue, continuing the momentum of cloud and mobility and better citizen services. And I've been very fortunate that at Box I have the opportunity to do that. I'm very excited that I get to sort of educate and bring and elevate the discussion within the company when it comes to how Box looks at the public sector, what's necessary and important to our government customers, how we evolve our products and our services to meet their needs better, and how we partner with other companies and other stakeholders in this ecosystem to bring these solutions to market. I've been on Twitter for a long time. I've always never taken myself too seriously. I had to go through several discussions with my ethics folks and legal folks at GSA on what to do and what not to do at Twitter when I was at GSA. But, I think social media has completely changed how people connect today, right? I mean, and it's agent dependent, it's sector independent. If you just see the interaction between Taylor Swift and Tim Cook on the digital rights deal with IBM, Apple Music coming out, Apple Music coming out, it tells you that, what used to take 6, 8, 9 months of negotiations between artists and publishers literally is taken out, happening over Reddit and Twitter today and happening in days rather than months. And that's the new world we're moving into. And I think, many years from now, but I think where government is going is exactly the same kind of interaction. A citizen has a need in line, real time, they express that need, they connect with the right officials, and they get the services they need. And that's exactly the kind of world that we want to move into.
So tell me about Box. It's a company founded in 2005 up in Seattle, then moved down to the Bay Area, and just been just going gangbusters ever since. Hmm?
Very excited. Box is one of the most smartest, innovative companies that I know, founded by two friends in college. Aaron, who's the CEO at Box, is one of the smartest people I've ever met. And one of the things that about Box, which really interested me when I was considering moving out of the private sector, was that it's an enterprise-only company, which is very rare in the Bay Area. Most of the companies and startups that start in the Bay Area today are primarily focused on the consumer market because, again, the numbers, VCs prefer companies that can attract hundreds of millions of users very quickly. And the way you do that is releasing features and capabilities that end consumers care about. However, it takes a much bolder, stance to say we're only going to serve the enterprise because the enterprise needs are different, whether it's security, whether it's compliance, whether it's usability. Enterprise needs are different than consumer needs. And by making that stance many years ago, Box committed to being the best enterprise company in the world. Every bit of engineering, every bit of ingenuity and innovation that Box invests in, it's only focused on enterprise customers. We are a company of about 1,200 people. We're growing pretty fast. And what's really amazing about Box is how many different industries and sectors it's making a real difference. And so if you look at our customers, you will see every large, highly regulated organization that you can imagine. Box is being used in 99% of the Fortune 500 companies. Large companies like GE and AstraZeneca and Boston Scientific and Coca-Cola are all customers. And these companies have huge security challenges. Many, are global companies. They have large workforces. They need to connect and collaborate and work together on very interesting projects. And they have IP issues. They have export control management issues. And they need tools that can actually not only provide them with great experiences, save costs, but also provide them with unprecedented security and compliance. And that's the kind of problem that we like to solve.
Multinational concerns, a whole rapid growth too. Now, if you're typing in your computer, you're typing in file sharing or cloud content management, you may stumble on Box. And just real quickly here before we go to break, nothing to do with Dropbox, two different companies.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you just look at the cloud file sharing market, there's many, many companies in this space, right? I mean, and they're frankly very good companies. There's Dropbox, there's iCloud, and the list goes on and on. The problems that Box is trying to solve are very different than what many of these file sharing companies try to solve. Nothing against them, but to us, the whole world looks like enterprise, right? So we design everything from scratch for enterprise customers, from security to compliance to retention management, et cetera. And then secondly, the problems that we are trying to solve are not really file sharing and collaboration challenges, although that's something that Box does really well. The problems we're trying to solve are really mission business problems. So whether it's for Department of Justice and enabling their law enforcement information sharing environment, whether it's for our other customers in the private sector, whether it's healthcare where doctors and patients have to work together using health records, those are the kind of problems we try to solve. And they're slightly more advanced and slightly more complex than traditional file sharing. So I'd love to talk to you more about that.
Great. Let's take a break. We come back, we'll talk more about Box and about another three-letter word called IBM and a new partnership you have there and addressing needs of large organizations like enterprise-level organizations. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio this morning is Sunny Hashmi, Managing Director, Global Government at Box. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio this morning is Sunny Hashmi, Managing Director, Global Government at Box, BOX.com. And if you want to go to their blog, it's BOX.com/blog. Pretty simple.
Great. Yeah. Would love to come by and take a look at our blog. Some really interesting things happening.
Yeah. In the first block, we talked about defining what Box does. And I think we established the point that it's really not for kids in high school and college to store documents and little things. This is an enterprise-level solution for large organizations that have multinational problems. And that's what the federal government is. People who are listening to this show work for multinational agencies that have big, huge problems to solve. And you want to get with a company that's comfortable with bigger companies. And I read a press release saying that Box and IBM to team up on cloud offerings. I mean, these are – IBM's a pretty big enterprise-level organization,
IBM
isn't
it? Is a decent-sized company.
One would say.
They've been around for a few years.
So tell us about that partnership and how that can help my listeners.
Sure. Before getting into that, just take a couple of minutes about how we see the world and where it's going a little bit, because that sets the context a little bit better. So what we feel, and this is anybody who's been in enterprise technology lately would resonate with them, is that as the consumers, whether it's your citizens, whether it's stakeholders, other agencies, etc., partners, are becoming more digitally connected, they expect better digital experiences, right? So all your business processes, if you're a large organization, are going digital. And that what that means is that you need better technologies and mechanisms to connect across company lines with your people who are on the outside of your company, whether it's your customers, whether it's your providers, stakeholders. And in the sense of government, imagine the citizens who interact with government, and the interactions today are very focused or often focused on the person having to come into the building, providing some paperwork, showing some identification to basically transact business like filing taxes or applying for a passport renewal and things like that. We see a world where in the future, all these interactions will be digital, right? So you need to invest, you need platforms that are designed from the ground up to enable and absolutely change those digital experiences, both inside the company and outside. So from that perspective, we are so excited to be partnered with IBM, and I'll tell you a little bit about what that means. IBM basically is the original enterprise technology company. They invented enterprise technology. They are a company that I respect very, very greatly personally. I've actually worked there for many years. But they are a company that's always looking for where enterprise technology is going next. And what they recognized is that in this new world where there's going to be this mass digitization of experiences and where the consumers are going to be always connected, you need different newer models where the legacy technology doesn't work. So the legacy technology of on-prem, thick, heavy systems is designed with the assumption that your employees are somehow sitting in a building behind a firewall on a corporate network, and then they access resources that are only available to them. Well, in today's world, your employees, your customers, your stakeholders are all outside your network. They're using mobile devices, and they want equal or better experiences than they had on-prem. So with IBM and Box pairing up, what Box is bringing is these world-class digital experiences where people can be connected securely through mobile devices and in social mechanisms. And IBM brings their tens, if not hundreds of years of history in enterprise technology, security, as well as analytics. We're very excited to be partnering with Watson for analytics, where companies can now actually analyze the information that they have stored in companies like Box, not just store it and use it, but actually analyze it, get great insights out of it, integrate it within their larger technology footprint. And then also Box and IBM are gonna be pairing up and leveraging the IBM's global data center, software data center footprint. There were 45 data centers all over the world, and what we're excited about is partnering with them to see if that resource can then be made available to our global customers as a place to actually use Box out of, right? So it's a great partnership. We're so excited. And it's actually the biggest cloud partnership ever announced since cloud was invented. So we're extremely excited to be partnered with an amazing company like IBM.
2005, couple of kids in college start this company. 15 years later, they're running with the big dogs, aren't they?
You never, ever could imagine it, five or even 3 years ago, that amazing companies like IBM that have such an amazing and deep history with enterprises would have actually think about Box as a strategic partner, not just a company to kind of acquire or push out of the way, but a strategic partner in how they deliver technology to the customers. We're super excited.
I was at Box.com this morning, tooling around, reading some blogs, looking at your customer list, and I saw a lot of finance, and I saw a lot of medicine. I said, well, security is a big deal for these companies. I mean,
Absolutely, they're not
going to just haphazardly partner with a company like Box because it's the new kid on the block or something trendy. They're going to, this is money at stake. And I think that's what the federal government should realize, that, yes, they can make the transition to the cloud. Yes, they can do it with security. Why? Well, if Box has been performing very well with large organizations that are, let's say the word, flipped out about security, I imagine they would be able to understand some of the requirements of my listeners.
Absolutely. So, having been a federal CIO, it's easy to kind of be inside the bubble of being in a federal agency and think that your security requirements are very unique or somehow, far more complex. Don't get me wrong, federal security requirements are unique. The information that we manage is highly sensitive. We have we manage public trust, which requires us to be almost always vigilant about cybersecurity. At the same time, the problem is that we often also get complacent about thinking that our on-prem legacy technologies are somehow secure. But if you look at the last few years and what's happening in this area, if you look at the biggest sort of breaches over the last 2 or 3 years, you'll realize that they're breaches of on-prem legacy systems. The problem is that these technologies are getting harder and harder to maintain, patch, secure, and manage. The adversaries are getting smarter to get around loopholes. And the fact is that this on-prem model is just not secure anymore. If you had to design these systems today, you would not make the same choices that many of us have to tolerate in the federal government and large enterprises all over the world. So most of our customers, since we only serve enterprise customers, our most active verticals where we do a lot of work, besides government, obviously, is healthcare and financial services and banking and insurance. And all of these companies have huge implications if their IP or if their customer data is ever exposed. Think of a hospital that manages hundreds of thousands of customer interactions a day. If that hospital is not, at the same time, their workforce is in the field, they need mobile devices, they need access to this data anywhere because it's literally life-saving information. But if they don't manage this information securely, then they literally could be exposed to not only hundreds of millions of dollars of litigation, but also lose their customers' trust, right? So, and the same thing goes for banking, same thing goes for automotive. We have been for years working in highly regulated environments where security is definitely important, but also equally important is this need to connect with internal employees, external users, and customers, and really push that digital experience forward. And we feel that we're the only company that can balance both the needs of security and compliance and the needs of user and great experiences and mobility like nobody else can.
I teach at the school down the road here, and I tell my students that in order to be terrific, you got to be specific. So give us an example of an agency that's maybe used Box in order to achieve some of these
goals.
Absolutely.
I'm happy to do that. So our core differentiator is, as I said before, we feel that the world is going in a direction where digital experiences between a company or an organization and its constituents are going to be increasingly important. So that's the problem we solve for, right? So any agency that you can think of, any company that you can think of, where business processes or interactions have to cross boundaries between organizations, that's where Box shines. So I'll give you an example. For example, one of our biggest customers, the Department of Justice, again, an organization that requires a very high level of trust, very high level of security for their information. Their primary challenge that they've been facing for many years and have been solved in the past with a lot of traditional, very expensive customized technology has been, how do you coordinate a very highly complex litigation when multiple stakeholders are involved? You have the Department of Justice attorneys, U.S. Attorney's Office. You have investigative bodies like the FBI and local law enforcement. You have opposing counsel where rules of evidence may require you to disclose the discovery documents and evidence documents. You also have the U.S. court system and many other stakeholders that all have to manage a process together, but do it in a way that's highly secure and highly managed. So that's the kind of use case that they are now solving using the Box technology.
So they can manage documents across the organization efficiently.
Exactly. Documents that are not just documents as in, you know, here's documents, but in a way that are discoverable, in a way that can actually stand up in a court of law. And when you look at our federal customers, for say local customers, private sector customers, the same kind of use cases emerge over and over again. If you're a bank and you want to provide better experiences for people who are applying for mortgages with your lending practice, you want an environment where people can share, collaborate on documents and so forth with you securely. If you're a hospital, you want to share health records with your patients, you want an environment where you can do that. And those are the kinds of things that Box solves for really well.
Let's take a break, come back. We'll talk about how maybe Box fits in with some of the goals that Tony Scott has talked about recently, and talk about blogs and social media resources that you use in order to keep up with this technology. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Sonny Hashmi, Managing Director Global at Box. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Sonny Hashmi, Managing Director Global Government at Box, BOX.com. That's awful easy to say, isn't it?
I have the best email address in the world, sunny@box.com. Can't get any easier than that.
I have so many companies that like they have a clever name and it sounds like an S and a C, and I got to be a real funicular radio guy. A lot of my students read blogs, some on Twitter. I do a lot of podcasts, listen to podcasts while I'm doing something else and kind of passively learn. So people are saying, well, you've had a lot of success in your life, Sonny. I mean, is it just lucky? I mean, what the blogs you read, or what do you do to keep up with technology?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's, first of all, you know, it's very kind of you to say that. I've been very fortunate in many ways. A lot of people have helped me along the way. So I don't want to in any way insinuate that somehow I've been, you know, the master of my own success. Everybody's standing on somebody else's shoulders to get to where they are. I have been very active online. I'm one of those people who, from the very beginning, spent a lot of effort and time and energy kind of really understanding how to get the most out of social media, right? So I've been active on Twitter since 2007. I use that as a medium very actively to not only engage with friends and colleagues, but also with some of the smartest people in the world. It's the lowest friction mechanism I can think of to connect with people you never even thought was possible. I was literally getting retweeted by people who in the real world I would never have an opportunity to meet or
what's your converse what's your with. Handle?
I'm Sunny_H at Sunny_H on Twitter.
That's easy, yeah. And Box is at BoxHQ. Is
that at BoxHQ? Yeah, that's our company Twitter handle. And if you want to follow Aaron, he's our Box CEO. He's one of the smartest guys you will ever follow. Very funny. You can find him, Aaron Levy, on Twitter as well.
He's a French speaker too. Is that right? He speaks several foreign languages, and
he's an interesting person. You should definitely get to know him in ways. And again, a great Silicon Valley story. Self-made person and. Really admire him in many ways. So Twitter has been a very big part of what I do. I follow a lot of news feeds and so forth. I'm also a big subscriber to blogs. And one of the apps that has completely changed my life is Flipboard. It was one of the first apps that came out for iPhone, and I've been a big fan since then. No endorsement in terms of I don't have any Flipboard stock or anything like that, but it really helps me sort of journal and categorize things that I care about. So everything from different blogs, different topics, I can easily get like a simple view of what's going on. And then, there's so much in terms of, access to technology and information today between conferences. TechCrunch does a great job of keeping the conversation going in the federal government here in D.C. There are many organizations, many venues that continue to kind of keep the conversation going. So I try to spend as much time as I possibly can at the federal forum and the ACT-IAC events and Affirm and AFSEA. It's a great place to network and really understand, really learn from what federal agencies are looking at and what the industry is able to provide.
And if your friends in California want to listen to this as a podcast, They just have to go to Apple iTunes and search for Federal Tech Talk so they can listen and tease you and say you were wrong about this or you sounded funny.
I've probably not even scratched the surface of the top 10 cool places to kind of go and get information.
Well, yeah, but people just always ask, you know, they listen to people on the radio, go, where does he go to get his information? He organizes it with little pieces of paper. No, he uses Flipboard, which is interesting. And I kind of use this strange situation with remembering websites, but you know, I have a funny way of going about things anyway. So we know that Box works with large organizations going across different technologies. When you talked about the DOJ application earlier, I thought about sharing files. I thought about SharePoint. So different products. Do they compare with SharePoint, separate products, or how does that compare?
Yeah, and again, look, you know, there's a lot of products that have been trying to solve this content problem for a long time, right? So SharePoint is a great example of a product that's been around for a long time. And most organizations have some experience, either very successful or less so, leveraging SharePoint to allow for collaboration. The challenge for all these technologies, especially before the cloud era, is that they're all designed for enterprise use. But every time you say that, it means inside an enterprise for enterprise employees, right? So SharePoint is great, SharePoint is a good platform for, you have a company, you have a network, you have people in a building, and you want some way to share files with each other. It gets increasingly complex and increasingly difficult if you want to then use that as a platform to engage with citizens, if you want to scale it to millions and millions of users, instantly, if you want to scale it to really high levels of security. Think about a product, and many of our organizations are using these products, right? I'm not going to sort of name any out, but it's not hard to imagine which ones are like that. But if you think of a product that has the acronym 2007 or 2010 in its version title, right? Or anything that was released or announced in 2007, 2010.
5 years to develop.
You know, that each of these softwares takes 3 to 5 years to develop. That means that software was designed in a world before the iPhone was invented.
Yeah.
That software was designed in a world before the iPad came along. It was invented before HTML5 was a thing. It was invented before any of these new security threats from rootkits to the latest phishing attacks were even real. How can you expect that software that was designed 5, 6, in fact, 10 years ago to be agile enough to really respond to when your customers come in and saying, I have an Apple Watch and I want a great experience on that Apple Watch?
I think of a good analogy. I've been married 32 years. When we first got married, we had a little house that had a gas stove, and I bought a wok, and I used to make wok, vegetables, and rice. It was delicious. Every night, it was great. And finally, we moved to a little bigger house and had electric range. And all of a sudden, I couldn't use that wok, could I? It was great.
Right.
It just didn't work. But the idea was still there, and the technology didn't, the times changed.
Right.
It didn't work.
The times changed.
So you may have a perfect solution when you first get married, and then things change. Your agency changes, and it just doesn't work.
And that's another reason why I think federal CIOs in general should really think about technology in terms of platforms rather than point solutions, right? Because you may be able to solve a problem that you have today with a specific point solution that is customized to solve that problem. But I can guarantee you that 3 years from now, that problem is going to look very different. The customers will be different. The world will change. It will change around it. And then if your platforms are now scalable and configurable in a way that they can be easily molded to solve the new problem, it makes it very expensive and very difficult to then continuously retrofit your current IT stack into solving newer and newer problems. And that's why this cloud environment helps. And this is not just for Box, although Box is definitely a company that is in that ecosystem. But I mean, look at companies like NetSuite and Salesforce and Okta and Workday. These companies are constantly emerging, constantly evolving their products. So yes, if Apple Watch comes out, I guarantee you each one of these cloud companies has a strategy. And within a matter of days, if not weeks or months, they will have a solution so that your customers who are now using and interacting with you in these new forms can leverage that capability very quickly. Box releases code every day, right? So literally, if you use Box today, you're using software that was written yesterday, not 5 years ago, not 10 years ago, right? But they do it at a scale in a way that maintains security, maintains compliance, and maintains a transparent user experience where people don't have to worry about the patches and the upgrades and the integrations. They maintain all those interactions. So the cloud ecosystem with different platforms are designed to solve really well different parts of the problem, whether it's CRM, whether it's workflow, whether it's identity management, content management, et cetera, is really the right kind of long-term strategy. And not only can it save tremendous amounts of money for enterprises, but it can provide a more secure, more robust, more scalable, and more user-friendly experience in the end.
Well, just look at security. I mean, the security problems we encounter today, who dreamed of them 5 years? No one didn't dream of them five years. Who dreamed of them 5 weeks ago?
Right.
And there's all kinds of vulnerabilities that there are vulnerabilities inherent in some of the IP protocols that were designed 40 years ago.
I mean,
so you have to be loose and flexible and adaptable.
I mean, if you see these systems that are, you know, when you look at the Target breach, when you look at Sony, when you look at the recent news coming out of AOPM, none of these people are either, you know, less than competent. They're all hardworking, competent CIOs, hardworking teams. The challenge is that the systems that they're using inherently were designed for a world where it's 10, 15, 20 years ago, where the networks look very different, traffic patterns were very different, protocol that people were using very different, right? So all of those two-factor authentication, advanced encryption didn't exist back then. And
they're trying to use a walk on electric range. It doesn't work.
And today, unfortunately, those are the kind of things you need to really protect yourself. So now, unfortunately, the choices are limited to either spending a lot of work, a lot of effort, a lot of money in retrofitting this old, you know, technology to patch up where the deficiencies are today, which is very expensive, very kind of convoluted, or you really focus your energies in establishing and going towards these modern platforms that come out of the box, no pun intended, with these sort of capabilities, available at no additional cost.
We can steal Tony Scott's famous putting airbags on a 65 Mustang.
Yes, I mean, that's a very good analogy. Yes.
Let's take a break and come back, talk more about social media and about Box and how some of your solutions can help my listeners. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with Sunny Hashmi, Managing Director Global at Box. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, I have Sunny Hashmi, Managing Director Global Government at Box, BOX.com. That's awful easy. And you're pretty active on Twitter. What's your Twitter handle again?
It's at Sunny _H.
Okay.
I've had the same handle for, just coming on eight years now almost.
S-O-N-N-Y _H. That makes sense. We talked about a company called Box that, you've been there about a year. How long have you been with Box?
Not very long, actually. It's about coming up to about 4 months. So it certainly have been a very exciting 4 months. We've announced quite a few partnerships and agreements. So we just recently announced a partnership with IBM. It's a global partnership. We recently announced a partnership with Microsoft, another company that knows a thing or two about enterprise technology. We announced great partnerships with...
Now you folks have an annual show, is that right?
Yeah, we actually have a great annual conference. It's called BoxWorks. It's coming up in September. I encourage all your listeners to take a look at it. We really make it about enterprise technology. We're going to have some of the most brilliant, forward-looking thinkers coming and speaking. We have CIOs from pretty much every Fortune 500 company who's going to be there. So if you're a CIO in government, want to network with other CIOs that have similar problems, global challenges, security problems, come by BoxWorks. It's a very intimate, very
What you can do, probably
conference.
Follow your Twitter feed. You can say, coming up
Please do.
And then what I like about people like you is that you're at the show and I can watch the Twitter feed. I can't make it, but, this is guy said this about that, and this is about encryption. You can feel what's going on.
We're very excited about it. This year is a big one for Box, both in terms of what the product is, but also our entire strategy around how are we going to help enterprises. So these partnerships with IBM is just one example on how we feel that we can really make a huge difference in large organizations. So very cool. Come by BoxWorks. Please take a look. It's going to be some great content there, great speakers. And you'll get to meet hundreds of the most innovative technology companies who are all going to be there as well. So come on by.
Francis Rose and I have been around here for many years. And when I started doing this show, I would meet people and they'd go, that guy's Sunny. What kind of phone does he have? really? And so I've come up with a scientific 10-question test to find out if you're a card-carrying nerd or not and see exactly what technology you have.
I'm really nervous.
And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you go to his Twitter feed, he claims to be a proud, multifaceted geek. And so we're going to have a 10-question test here and see if, in fact, that's the case. If he's a geek, or maybe he's just normal. Who knows? So I'm going to ask 10 questions.
Making it all up.
The first question I have in this test is going to be a tough one. It's going to be, do you have an Instagram account?
I do have an Instagram account. Yes,
that's a good point.
I would like to be more active on the Instagram account than I am, but I'm a huge follower, lurker on Instagram, more so than a poster.
And how many cell phones have you purchased for yourself in the last year?
This is going to be my third one.
That's really nerd points. That is very geeky.
I'm a little boring in terms of the platform, so I've been kind of like sticking to the iOS platform for a number of years now, but I can't help but to kind of have the latest iOS device that's in the market.
And you have a personal Twitter feed. We know that. We talked about that earlier. And which one have you used, Meerkat or Periscope?
I have actually used Meerkat.
Oh, you're getting all the nerd points here, buddy.
Although I think Periscope with the Twitter integration is actually pretty cool. I haven't really used it myself, but I think that's going to take off.
Yeah. What kind of smartphone do you have?
I have an iOS device, an iPhone 6.
And what's the most popular app on that bad boy in the last 30 days?
You know, what's interesting is I think the app that I use all the time is Twitter and Flipboard. Those are the two that are like top left corner of my home screen.
So we break into your home this evening. How many tablet devices do we find floating around there?
Oh, Jesus. Man, there's a number that's in the double digits. So
you're getting a lot of nerd points here. I mean, really, you're scoring high. High score for the year, I think.
I hate to admit it, but there's probably 15 at least.
Wow. And when was your most recent post in social networking site?
Yesterday.
Yesterday.
I mean, okay. I I'm actually more of a Twitter guy than Facebook. I have lots of friends on Facebook, but I'm not very active on it. For some reason, I can't seem to figure it out, although, you know, it's a very user-friendly tool, but I can't figure out how to kind of keep my private and public life separate on Facebook. I need to sort of invest more time on it. But Twitter has always been very, I use it for professional engagement and networking a lot, so I'm very active on Twitter.
Question number 9, you're getting all high scores so far. When is your Apple Watch due?
Oh, man.
Did you order one?
No, I haven't ordered
one.
Wow,
you just burst the bubble right there. You're doing so good.
I do want to get one, but I'm just I'm a little falling behind on that front.
And the last book you read, was it electronic or paper?
Electronic. Yeah, I mean, I haven't bought paperbacks.
Well, I have to say, you are definitely a geek here. You score high in the nerdometer scale here, and you got to put that $17,000 down on the watch.
I know, man.
$17,000, really?
Karat gold watch is calling me.
I don't know. No, when you think about gold, you think about value and cost, people say moving to the cloud can be expensive or not expensive. So where's Box fit in as far as saving money for my listeners? I mean, look at Tony Scott's last talk. We talked about his Mustang analogy and everything else, and you know, he realizes he's trying to reduce the number of data centers and do it with a shrinking budget. Yeah. Well, can Box help my listeners accomplish those, you know, kind of conflicting goals?
Absolutely. And I think I'm a little surprised. I think I've heard sort of a conversation emerging over the last couple of years questioning whether, cloud can really save money or if it's just one of those talking points. I mean, I can assure you, I can, from personal experience, work that we did at GSA and now at Box, when we see our customers across the board, and it's not just when they consume Box, but when they actually migrate to cloud for their applications, for platforms, for hosting, I can assure you that you can certainly save money with the cloud. You have to be smart about how you architect your cloud services, and that's where we can certainly help our customers, you know, really think through some of the challenges. But with Box, we see our customers save, we say about 50%, but in some cases, as up to as many as 75, 80, or 90% of their cost of on-prem alternative solutions. So saving money is just a part of the equation, right? I mean, it's absolutely, you're going to save money. You're going to modernize. It's going to allow you to kind of get rid of storage and data centers and footprint that is frankly fairly commoditized, and you're not really adding much value in your strategic benefits. But then you really gain the benefit of having a lot more control, a lot more visibility, a lot more auditability over your data, over your content that you never had before, which is necessary in this new world that we live in. Plus, you will make your users ecstatic. So a good quote that I have, for example, from a friend of mine who's the CIO for the public broadcasting service, he recently shared that as a CIO, you never get thank you notes.
That's true, isn't it?
At best, things are working and people ignore you, and at worst, you're just getting angry letters. But the only time in his career when he got thank you notes was when he rolled out Box to his customers, because it made so many of the basic problems go away of, I can't figure out where my stuff is, I'm traveling today and I need to access A, B, and C, and I just don't know how to do it. So it's that simplification of technology that users like. They want technology to be invisible, to just work for them. And that's the kind of stuff that I think that a lot of these cloud services like Box, Salesforce, Google, Microsoft, they can offer to the end users.
And you work with Google Apps, you work with Salesforce,
absolutely.
NetSuite. I mean, IBM's partnering with you, Microsoft's partnering with you. It seems like it's almost a way. I can't think of two-factor authentication, but I think of two steps. It's the other half of the coin. Okay, yeah. I want to use Salesforce, but I want to store some of this information. I want to use Salesforce, but how can I make it secure? Well, what about all these reports I have? How can I make sure these reports are safe? Well, can you integrate with Google? Well, you compete with Google. Well, no, we work with Google Apps. And so you're not limiting yourself by even talking
not
to folks
all.
In the box.
We look at this. So I believe that we're going from this, there's this like fundamental shift going on from what I call the old stack to the new stack, right? In the old world, we still had a lot. I mean, there was this promise made back in the 80s, early 90s, where you can just invest in one big ERP and it will solve all your enterprise problems for you. Well, I don't think we've seen that actually work, right? Very few organizations, if any, have invested in one technology from one vendor that has solved all their problems for them. So you end up with this hybrid world where you have multiple solutions, multiple companies that are solving multiple problems for your organization. And then it's very difficult to integrate them, very difficult for them to work together. Data doesn't flow between these things because each one is proprietary, each one is closed off. What we believe is that we're going to this new stack concept where you have a new set of players, companies coming that are open by default, integratable by default, all driven by APIs and RESTful interfaces that are designed to work together to solve specific problems for the enterprise, but understand that they don't solve all the problems. So Box is never going to be an ERP solution. It's never going to be your HR solution. However, we do want to work with the best of breed HR solutions in the world. We want to work with the best of breed CRM solutions in the world. So if you look at Box, we have we have thousands of what we call One Cloud partners, which are companies that we have deeply built, detailed, secure integrations pre-built so that a company, an organization can use Salesforce for their CRM, Workday for your HR solution, NetSuite for your financials, Okta for your single sign-on, Recommind for your discovery, Box for your content, Google Apps or Microsoft 365 for your office productivity, and all of that literally works together by default, right? And you don't have to worry about integrations and security. That's the world that we want moving towards, and that's what we're pretty excited about.
Well, I'm pretty excited about Box, and see what innovations come out of this event in September. Maybe have you back maybe in later on in the year and talk about innovations and maybe bring in some Govies and say, look, this is a solution. 1, 2, 3, we looked at all these three, and we selected this for these specific reasons.
So, that'd be wonderful. Great.
Be great. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio today, Sunny Hashmi, Managing Director, Global Government at Box.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 9, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.